guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just a crappy night all around.
Oh.
Here's Mark and Lynn. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, great show as always. What I was going to say was recent history would say that after a 14-1 win, what's going to happen tonight? A 2-1 loss. So if they're real, maybe they won't lose 2-1. Maybe they will win, you know, 3-4. Who knows?
Yeah, see, to me, I mean, I just look at it as a neutral observer, tonight's about the Yankees. And what's the response there?
Yeah, largely. I mean,
if there's no response there tonight,
well, bad sign. See, the other thing, I look at it from the Red Sox eyes, too, though. And I say, well, now Price goes out on the mound again. He's been awesome here in the early part of the year. He hasn't allowed a run since last July, crying out loud. Okay, he hasn't allowed, now, again, he just pitched in relief at the end of the season, so it's a little deceiving. But he hasn't allowed a run in almost a calendar year. They're rolling. What if he goes out and gets his ass kicked tonight? Like, all of a sudden, you now look at Price and go, of course. Like, I don't know, I do a little bit.
This is what you're left with. Drumming up scenarios where we can rip the Red Sox.
I just feel like they are rolling right now. They are absolutely rolling. And so, you know what? Don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. You get the Yankees on their heels. Step on these guys.
Pete, and
build a 10-game lead early if you can.
Sorry, Pete in Delaware with the Celtics thought. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. I was listening to you on the Celtics, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, they're falling apart a little bit, and, you know, I think Brad should at least win one round. But the other thing, guys, is look at the Sixers right now. They're doing exactly what the Celtics did at the beginning of the season. They've won 15 in a row. They're pretty healthy now, right now. We're injured. It seems like the roles have been reversed. And don't you think that's going to put a lot of pressure on Danny and Brad and the whole organization to make a big trade in the offseason if the Sixers go deep in the playoffs?
Okay, Maz, this is right up your alley.
So now everyone's acknowledging that the Sixers are for real.
I would hardly call Pete in Delaware everyone.
Okay, 51 wins. 51 wins. When I told you that Philly was going to be good, watch out for Philly, everybody mocked me.
Here's the question. Are the Celtics chasing the Sixers now?
I wouldn't say chasing, but I would say you better be aware that they're not far behind you. I mean, you know, the Celtics, if everybody's healthy, and it's Kyrie, and it's Hayward, and, you know, the whole mix.
You're significantly better, I think.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, you're more seasoned, you know, and again, it's tough for kids to win in that league. So you're more championship ready than the Sixers, for sure.
Yeah, because you have more veteran guys.
Yes.
Yep. But I would say Philly's coming. Philly's coming fast.
Can I ask you something? Because I'm sorry, I've checked out on it. Has Fultz been a part of it?
Not really.
No.
Not really.
He's healthy. He's playing, but he's not really a factor.
No. He's not really a big part of it. No.
Okay.
No, Simmons has been dynamite.
Yeah, he's turned himself into a monster.
Yeah, Simmons has been dynamite. And obviously, they've been without Embiid here for the last little bit. Look, I thought they would win 50 next year. I didn't think they'd get there this year. It's taken a ridiculous winning streak for them to, you know, as the caller said, 15 in a row to pull it off.
Are the folks in Philly saying it's all about the coach? Who is the coach?
Brent Brown from the San Antonio system.
I was just going to say, came from Popovich and the Spurs system. I sort of like him, handsome looking fella. Like, but in Philly, are they building statues for the coach?
Yes. Not that I'm aware of.
No, they're saying we have these great young players and this amazing roster and the process.
And the coach helps.
And I doubt that they're doing to that coach what you've done to Stevens. I doubt it.
They are.
I doubt it.
Embiid, it's Embiid.
Simmons.
Dave in Providence. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
I've been calling for a couple of weeks. I'm glad I finally got through.
Okay, speak loudly and quickly.
All right. I just wanted to allude to a point you guys made a couple of weeks around opening day about the question, which I completely agree with you, if we can get past the division and into the ALCS. And the way things are taking form, it looks like every other season, the uncharacteristic burst of offense and great pitching at the beginning, and might not be a problem taking the East. But I go back to 2004 and how we finally got past that insurmountable mountain of getting to the ALCS and the World
Series. So what are you saying, David?
What's your point?
My point is we have a slugger that's gone.
I have to let you go. I just have a feeling you're not going anywhere. No matter what the Red Sox do this season, do you have to say, I need to see it in the postseason?
Of course. Yes, absolutely.
There's nothing they can do over 162 to show you they're different?
Well, no. These head-to-head games with the Yankees mean something to me. I told you this. They went 8-11 last year. They didn't score against the Yankees last year, which is another reason why this game meant something last night to me. They scored 59 runs in 19 games last year. 3 runs a game. I mean, that blows. In this day and age, with their lineup especially, and for all the crap that people love to say about the Yankees pitching, if the Yankees pitching sucks so bad, how come they shut the Red Sox down every time last year? So I wanted to see them come out and do some damage, be aggressive, take it to the Yankees, and they did. Now I want to see it continue. They're going to play him 19 times. So during the regular season, I would like to see them go nose to nose with that top tier of teams in the league. And then, obviously, in October, they need to win. But in the short term, the regular season, when you play with the big boys, show me that you can play with the big boys. Like, to me, that's a big thing for this team.
Tom in Weymouth, what do you got, Tommy?
Hey, I just want to talk about how to get Swihart into the lineup. I mean, you move Benintendi to center, J.D. Martinez plays left field. And that's why I can DH. He hit the cover off the ball in Florida. He deserves the shot. JBJ is anemic at the plate. He'd be the late-inning defensive replacement.
So, Tom, I like the way you're thinking, but you even made it a little too complicated. How about just put Benintendi in center and Swihart in left? Swihart's a better outfielder than J.D. Martinez. Just leave J.D. Martinez DH. Yeah. Put Swihart in left. I'll take my chances. I'll take a chance on his athleticism versus J.D. Martinez's lead ass.
What's Bradley hitting right now?
He had a hit last night to the opposite field. He's been a little bit better the last couple of games. I don't even know what the average is. I'll check. But he's been a little bit better. But I'm done with Bradley. I know what Bradley is.
133. So when he's in one of these 133 stretches, why does he play every day? Why does he have to play every day? I know he hasn't. But when he's going like this, why can't he be a platoon player and a late inning sort of guy? Because that's a perfect defensive replacement, pinch runner, etc. Or, you know, even the left-handed bat off the bench, whatever. Where is it written that he's an everyday ball player when he's hitting like that?
There isn't. I mean, you know, look, you can carry a guy like that at the bottom of your lineup if you have a lineup like them because his defense is so good. But I'm not against the idea of putting Swihart in left field and Benintendi in center.
Zach in Rhode Island, go ahead, please. What do you got?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Huge fan of the show. So what's up with Ruzne Castillo? I mean, I know he's getting paid millions, and he's just playing in the minors, so what's the deal with that?
Okay, so is he even on that 40-man roster?
He's not. I couldn't give a rat's ass about Ruzne Castillo. He is the last guy I'm thinking about at the moment. Last guy.
I was going to say, is he a chip, but he makes $8 million a year or something?
10.
Right? So who'd want that?
No, I just, like, with all the things they have going at the moment, in terms of how they're playing, the talent on the roster, is Ruzne Castillo really the guy that anybody's worried about? So look, I told you this a second ago. Questions like that at times like this irritate the crap out of me.
All right, then we'll disregard it. Mike in Rhode Island. Hi, Mike.
You guys are brutal. It's not even May, okay? And it's the first month of baseball. Last year, Red Sox were 3.5 games out, and the sky was falling. They won their division this year. And same thing with the Bruins. They were the worst team in hockey the first month of the year, and now they're the best. Okay, Celtics were going to the finals first month of the year. Now how are they doing? Okay, it's a long season in baseball, and for you to be ripping into you kind of rip into the Red Sox, even though they're doing well too. You know what I mean? Even when they're doing good,
so Mike,
they're doing bad.
Mike, I'll tell you what. If our next show was October 2nd, I would agree with you. We can just save it all for October 2nd, except we do a show every day, so we kind of have to react to what happened the day before. It's just sort of the way it works.
You know what? You guys push the panic button so fast.
Well, yeah, sure. Why not? It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you know what? It's not real loyal. That's all I say.
It's not my job to be loyal. How's it my job to be loyal to who?
No, that's why it's so brutal to play in Boston. That's why nobody wants to come here.
Oh, wow. Okay? They're fine. They're fine. They'll get through it. They'll get through it. They'll be okay.
Who's panicking? I'm not panicking.
If I'm a Yankee fan, I'm panicking a little bit.
I'm not panicking.
Well, put yourself in the shoes of a Yankee fan. Do you feel comfortable saying, it's still early? It's still early. I wouldn't.
If I'm a Yankee fan, and it's a slow start, and that's one thing. Like, and it's not even that. It's 5-6. It's not even that bad. But then I look into the eyes of my leader, And I look into the eyes of the guy that's got to walk into that clubhouse every day and set things right. And Aaron Boone would scare the crap. If I'm a Yankee fan, I'm approaching the panic button. I am.
Did he say I'm disloyal? That we're disloyal?
We are disloyal.
We're disloyal?
I am so disloyal to Boston teams, it's not even funny. I'll turn on them in a second. That's the whole thing.
See, my answer being him accusing me of disloyal, my answer is, yep.
It's not her job to be loyal.
Yep, nope, I am loyal to moi.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blood force drum!
I'm gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Bass.
Who cares?
Felger and Bass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He and Belichick are not best friends. He doesn't love Belichick.
So it's all good. It's Patriots related. He talks to people. It's out there. Some of it's really right, although I'm not sure what has been really right. Some of it's really wrong, like Brady going to the Cowboys. This one I have a sense is going to be really wrong.
Clunker.
But we'll see. So what are the Patriots going to do with their draft picks? What are the Patriots going to do? And, like, you know, for example, like, there's a million different opinions on it, right? Like, I just pulled up the story on ESPN where they asked their panel of experts, what are they going to do with their five picks in the top 95? What are they going to do? You know, Matt Bowen, NFL writer, drafting a young offensive tackle should be one of the top priorities. And with Belichick now holding number three, Notre Dame's Mike McGlinchey and UCLA's Colton Miller, like, again, you do tackle talk on your own time, people. I don't know who these are. Should both be high on the Patriots draft board. Mike Reese, they ask. He says it's a toss-up between left tackle and off-the-line linebacker with developmental quarterback slotted right behind those spots. Developmental quarterback. How the team views 2017 third-round pick Antonio Garcia will determine how strongly they view the left tackle need. Field Yates says left tackle. The draft, however, this draft is not the only solution for the Patriots at that position. Reese is asked who a perfect kind of pick would be. He said, well, he even mentions running back. He said it would be a bonanza if they can find an Alvin Kamara type, or a James White type somewhere high in the draft. They ask Aaron Schatz, editor-in-chief of Football Outsiders. Again, he says, left tackle, a developmental quarterback. So these are like all sort of the standard responses, right?
Sure.
These are all the standard responses. Left tackle, off-the-line linebacker, a quarterback somewhere in there to develop down the line.
And also filling the holes where there's many on this team.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, some people think running back. Like all those, that's just sort of the standard. Here's Colin Coward's. Here's what Colin Coward has.
This is what presidents do, folks. They pardon
people. No, we're not pardoning people. Here's his plan for the Patriots at the draft.
This is what I would call my dream draft. I think most of these could happen. My sources tell me things that I'm going to present to you are being discussed.
Okay, so stop. So instead just, of a- just so you know, he presents this is not from his backside. This is according to the sources and the GMs that he dines with. These have been discussed.
Correct. These are things that are actually out there among executives.
Proceed.
So instead of a mock draft, I'll set myself up to be criticized. I'll call it my mocked draft. I'll explain each pick. My mocked draft. Number one, New England's got four picks in the first two rounds. Belichick's never gone into a season without a young, viable backup.
Is that true?
It's so wrong.
Is that true? He's never gotten into a season with a young viable without a young viable backup?
I mean, other than Garoppolo?
I mean, so, you know, I don't
Ryan
know.
Ryan Mallett had first-round arm talent.
I know, but I guess what I'm saying, has their backup always been a young guy?
No.
It doesn't feel like that's right. It feels like that's wrong. He hasn't even got to the take yet.
Will you not get in the way of a take? Would you please let the man
Sorry!
Go ahead.
Take blocker.
Yeah, is it to you? Kyle's just been take blocked.
I am. I'm a take blocker. I'm a left tackle of takes.
Belichick was not supporting Brady. Tom Brady's 40. He doesn't have one.
No, go back to the draft thing, Jimmy.
Mocked draft.
There you go.
Number one, New England's got four picks in the first two rounds. Belichick's never gone into a season without a young, viable backup. Tom Brady's 40. He doesn't have one. Number one, Sam Darnold becomes a Patriot.
Ugh. So stop. So you see what he's done there. He has the Patriots trading up to the first overall pick.
Yes, the number one overall selection. Yeah, Sam Darnold. Would be a colossal mistake if you're the Patriots, but keep going.
Number one, Sam Darnold becomes a Patriot because Bill Belichick has four picks, and the following year he would give up another first. Why? He doesn't have a backup, and Brady's 40. He's not going to give up on a season. New England's got good enough schematics and players to win a bunch of games. They can give up picks. What they can't afford is a Brady injury at 40. Cleveland and New England, multiple times in the last couple of years, Belichick knows Dorsey and likes him, the new GM of Cleveland, have done business and like and respect each other. And remember, Cleveland isn't locked into any one quarterback. My dream draft, my mocked draft, Sam Darnold number one.
Okay. Patriots trade up to number one to get Sam Darnold. And you know, and the thing about the Patriots in Cleveland doing a lot of deals, I mean, it's true. They've done a crap ton of deals. I mean, people forget, who's this defensive lineman they just got?
Oh, yeah. Shelton.
Yeah, right.
Never mind Jamie Collins and Barkevious Mingo. Like, they've done a ton.
Jason McCourty.
Javale Sheard, too.
They've done a bunch with Cleveland. Except for the one they should have done, obviously. Yeah. But don't you love when Patriots fans say, well, the Patriots don't want to send Cleveland anything. They're in the conference. They've done like eight deals with it. They've sent a bunch of stuff to Cleveland. Get that out of your head. They weren't afraid of Cleveland. They do deals with Cleveland routinely. But anyway, I mean, this is mock-worthy, right? He's put out there to be mocked. But let me ask you something. If they think Sam Darnold is Andrew Luck, strike that. Peyton Manning, okay? Like, and why I just said
sure.
Andrew Luck, like, they deem him to be the can't-miss quarterback at the top of the draft. Like, the guy that everyone knew from a million miles away can't miss. Peyton Manning, John Elway was like that. You know, there's been a few of those.
Sure.
If the Patriots feel Sam Darnold is that, would you still say that that's stupid?
No. I said this to you the other day. If that guy is available at the top of the draft that, you know, you deem to be a can't-miss franchise quarterback, and Manning, I think, is the exact example that I gave you, you can't overpay for that guy. You can't overpay for him. Which is why, in the same breath, I say to you, if you have a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, nobody can get that from you. You shouldn't be willing to give that.
So four of those five picks, plus next year's first, does that get you to number one and get you Sam Darnold?
It might. It might, but I don't think they're doing it. I mean, because I don't think
that guy... I mean, they better not, for one. This guy is a guaranteed stiff. I'll put my life on it.
So when I say it's stupid, I don't think he is that guy.
So you think it's about Darnold? Not the premise of trading up to get your guy if you think he's the guy.
Correct. At that position? Correct. And that's the only position I do it for, by the way. Maybe in all of sports. If there is a can't-miss guy...
Well, in the NBA, you would do that.
Okay,
for,
well, right. Okay, so that's fair.
Tim Duncan.
But I'm saying if that guy is there, the next true franchise quarterback, the next Manning, for lack of a better comparison, sure, you make that trade. Of course you make that trade.
No, you don't. Not while you still have the reigning MVP and the greatest quarterback on the planet on this team. When you had the heir apparent, and then you moved on from him last year, you made your decision. You're building around Brady now.
See, but
that's
what
you've told the quarterback.
You didn't like Garoppolo either.
And that is right.
But now you admit that trading Garoppolo was a mistake.
Well, because it was about the asset return for me, Maz, but obviously the head coach believed in the kid. So, yes, they got it wrong. If he believed in him that much, they shouldn't have got rid of him.
Okay, but this is the same scenario. If the head coach believes in the guy who is the next quarterback, then whatever you give up for him is not too much.
No,
you follow me?
Yeah, but it's too late now. You had him. You had to let him go. You've decided to back the greatest quarterback who's ever lived, who's still playing at an extremely high level, reigning MVP. You back him.
Right. So
you
so
make
for
picks
you,
to surround him with.
So
more
for
talent.
You, it's about Brady.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, it's about the next guy. Like, I look at it as the next guy. And if there is a guy that you deem to be the heir, the successor, and legit franchise guy, you can't overpay for that guy. Not at that position. You can't. You can overpay at every other position in the league. You can't overpay at that one.
Well, just look over your shoulders anyway. This is for the TV audience. You tell me that guy's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL.
How can you tell by the way he looks?
Ginger.
Oh, would you please? That's not right.
Well, all right, fine. Besides that, he's a USC quarterback. What's the high watermark out of that school ever? Carson Palmer? No thanks. Otherwise, Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez, Todd Marinovich, Matt Barkley. It's one line of stiffs out of that school at quarterback. No thanks.
You get a point there, Murray. He does look like a tool, too. I will say that.
He does. Tell that.
He does.
You
he looks
can't
like a,
tell that.
He looks like a tool. I don't like the hair either. It's got nothing to do with the color, though. It's more the style.
So here's the point.
Bill is telling you, I've not only hit the turn... I'm on the last couple of holes of this golf course.
So this is the deal. They do deal with Cleveland, unless it's Garoppolo and Jim, and Bill wants to take care of the guy because he likes him. So then he ships him to somewhere the kid wants to go. But with anyone else, he picks up the phone with Cleveland, does deals with Cleveland. Cleveland's sitting at 1-4. They're not taking two quarterbacks. They're only taking one. So whether you trade to 1 or 4, you have the ammo to go there and get one of these guys.
Sure you do.
Oh, you so want this to happen. I can just see it on your
face. You want it to happen because you want Bill to give the finger to Brady.
I just want the drama.
He and Belichick are not best friends.
I'm telling you.
He doesn't love Belichick.
I think you're going to get some of the drama anyway based on the players that they take in the early part of this draft.
But
some of the drama.
But it would also be exciting. If they did that, they would think that this next quarterback, whoever it is, Darnold, Rosen, whatever, is the nails, is the guy.
And I would hope he would suck so bad.
Well, then you'd have the follow-up move.
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Would you stop? We're focusing on his...
That's the best one.
On his mock draft. Would you please stop? So, I don't know. If Bill said, this guy's so good, I'm going to give up multiple high picks to go get him, that would excite me because that means Bill really thinks the guy's good.
Okay, so again, it would excite you as a talk show host and even as a Patriots follower.
No, as a fan, I mean, because we just discussed.
I mean, Patriots follower. Right. It would excite you as a Patriots follower.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, yes, it would absolutely excite you in that regard. But just going back to what Murray's point is, you're telling me that wouldn't piss you off on some level? You trade away Jimmy Garoppolo. You had him in here for a second-round pick. You let him go. And then the draft comes around after you trade Brandon Cooks for draft collateral, and you're going to take all of that collateral and go get a quarterback. So now you've traded Garoppolo, Brandon Cooks, and all these picks for a quarterback when actually you had him here to begin with.
Not to mention Garoppolo could have gotten you that fourth pick anyway.
It's believe me, that's obvious.
Okay, but
I'm now trying to move on from that.
Okay, I understand that. No, and I do. I get it that is gone. The horse has left the barn. And if you recognize your mistake, you know, you shouldn't necessarily be penalized for fixing it. I get it. But big picture, it would go down as one of the great boners and mismanagement, demonstrations of mismanagement in Bill Belichick's tenure.
No question. And I don't want, I mean, if I'm, you know, telling you, like, just from a pure football standpoint, it would be dumb to trade up. I mean, I like Bill's chances in the second and third round. I like his chances finding the next Garoppolo. One of those second-tier quarterbacks with a couple of years of development being coached by Belichick. I think Bill can coach him up and to be the next guy. I know that's not a guarantee, but I think that's a better approach than packaging and moving up.
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Okay, phones, as promised. Alan in Florida, Red Sox, Yankees, and Alex Cora. What do you think, Alan?
Well, first of all, I think everything is good, but I'll tell you what I find a little scary. Sunday, Alex Cora admitted, you know, everyone says it's so refreshing, he admitted to making a mistake. I think it's kind of alarming to make a mistake and to get so excited. What is he, a little league manager, to get excited that he didn't put in a replacement? And doesn't he have a bench manager? What is he doing? A bench coach? What is the bench coach doing?
So it's a great point, Alan. It is. Ron Renicki's a veteran guy. That's exactly where the bench coach should jump in and say to the manager, hey, do you want to get him out of the game? It's a great point, Alan.
From there, listen, everyone got carried away. You guys did. I mean, I did too. I wanted to get Stanton. But, you know, the Yankees did nothing in the offseason to do anything about the pitching. You know, I mean, we all, Sabathia's on the DL. You knew that was going to happen. I mean, Severino, forget about last night. He's an ace. But other than that, what do they have? Tanaka, he did well in the playoffs. All year he was struggling last year. I mean, I really do think if the Red Sox stay healthy, and I said before the season, I think Price is a key. I think they're a better team. Certainly a better team to win a division.
Well,
anyway.
I think they're more complete. You know, I think they're more balanced than the Yankees. But, I don't know. The Yankees came, you know, this is one thing I'll give the Yankees, that they were in that situation last year and they went through. You know, you haven't won anything in the playoffs in three, 4 years, whatever it is.
Sure.
So, like, I can at least...
Going on five.
I mean, you say Tanaka had a good playoff, so at least I can say that about him. I can't say that about a single one of your starting pitchers. I really can't.
No, and Tanaka was good down the stretch for them, too. He pitched well in big games before, you know, before the postseason. He was good in September. So, like, I don't know. That guy feels to me like he's got balls. That's all. You know, and he might be hittable during the year. I think it's, you know, these next couple of days are important for the Yankees. They played like garbage. Now, they were in on the Gerrit Cole thing. He's right about the pitching. They got Gray in the middle of last year, so maybe they look at that as an upgrade. I don't know what they have coming from the minors. But I also think their pitching's not as bad as everyone here wants to believe. You know, between Severino, Tanaka, Gray, that's not bad.
I mean, that's pretty good. It should be above average.
But the whole thing about Cora admitting his mistake, it's, you know, good. It's refreshing. I'm not saying it's anything bad. But this whole thing about Farrell never would have done that. No kidding, he never would have done that. We were all out for his job. We were out for his head. We were picking apart everything he said and every move that he made. And by the end of it, he was looking over his shoulder. And so, of course, he was paranoid and protective and short. And like, yes, well, of course. What do you expect? You know, that's what that job does to you. I'd like to see Cora after 5 years and two straight years out of the playoffs. See how he does. He's 9 games in and he's 8-1. Like, of course, yeah, I made a mistake. And you know, I mean, everyone has a good laugh about it. It doesn't tell you anything. Mark, in Providence. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, you guys are going a little nuts today. Usually you push the panic button on Boston teams, not other teams. But before the beginning of the season, what would you have said is the thing that the Red Sox have clearly over the Yankees?
Starting pitching.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, and did anybody happen to see the 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters of the Yankees last night?
Yeah, it was dreadful. I mean, again, they're banged up. There's no two ways about it, Mark.
So, like, you asked yesterday who has the most pressure on them, and I feel like if you have the top three pitchers of the Red Sox who clearly have better pitching than the Yankees, and then you put 4 AAA guys in the Yankee lineup, the Red Sox have no business losing more than one, if that, this week. I mean, the Yankees are essentially playing half their team against a team that you say has much better starting pitching.
Okay, Mark, what team has more pressure on them right now? Are you seriously debating that point? Have you seen the papers in New York?
They lost 3 of 4 to the Orioles, and they just got massacred last night. That game was over by the third inning. I mean, I don't care how decimated with injuries they are.
Yeah, they got absolutely blasted. I mean, they got absolutely punched in the face last night. So to me, I'd be alarmed about that if I were Aaron Boone.
Vin, let's see him again. In terms of, like, should you be winning, should you be losing? That's sort of a different animal than what's facing Aaron Boone and the Yankees right now. I mean, it's just, they're getting booed in their home opener.
See, but I also think he's missing a point. I told you this yesterday and, you know, earlier today even. These Yankees pitchers that everyone thinks sucks, maybe they do. I mean, that's your opinion. It's fine. It's okay. But they shut the Red Sox down last year. The Red Sox didn't hit these guys last year. So last night, they came out and hit Severino. And I didn't think Severino was that bad. I mean, the walks hurt him a little. But he threw some good pitches that the Red Sox hit. And I am not accustomed to see them hit good pitching like they did last night. There were a couple of occasions where Severino threw good pitches that the Red Sox put into play and got hits on. And I thought, whoa, now that's a little different. That, to me, is a good sign.
Billy in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good, Billy.
I just got a comment on what Maz just spoke about last year. You know, last year is last year. Regardless what they do head-to-head, but what matters is where they finish. To finish over the Yankees and take the division.
Hold on, Billy. You'd rather be the Red Sox last year than the Yankees who went to Game 7 of the ALCS. Are you serious?
I am serious.
Oh, come on.
And secondly, let me just make one other comment. Take the roster of the Yankees and exclude the two guys, Stanton and Judge, and you tell me where the depth is on each team. The Red Sox got a lot more depth in that dugout than the Yankees do, and I don't even know the names of those Yankees that are in that lineup anymore.
Yeah, Billy, I tell you what.
This isn't 2 or 3 years ago. This is today. Those Yankees are in big trouble, and that's not because I'm a Red Sox fan. Their catcher can't catch the ball. They are in trouble.
They might be in trouble. When I look into that manager's eyes, I see trouble. I'm not going to debate that, but you're telling me you'd rather win the division and go one and done in the playoffs and go to Game 7 of the ALCS. What are you smoking?
Oh, that's asinine, please. And, you know, look at take out Judge and Stanton and look at the roster. Take out Betts and Benintendi, and what do you got? Like, you know, you think Hanley's going to keep this up all year and stay healthy? If you're going to take the two best players out of the lineup, you can say that about every team in the league.
That's silly.
I mean, it's just preposterous. So, look, but I'll tell you, the underrated part to me about the Yankees here in the early going, their defense blows. It blows. Their defense sucks.
What was the error stat again?
12 errors for the Yankees so far in 11 games. The Red Sox have 0.
Back page of the papers. Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Already pointing to the manager. And I don't even really see a story in there. I just see the headline. Like, I looked at the Post website today. Did they write a story on Aaron Boone screwing anything up? I didn't really see it. But the headline writers, Boone. It's a boondoggle. And the Daily News has a Yankee fan traveling to Boston just to boo Stanton.
I don't know any other way to say this. The Yankees don't look ready to play to me. They don't look ready to play. They're kicking the ball all over the field. Stanton's not making contact. Like, and I know they have guys who are hurt.
And they put Bone in the headlights. They're going after the manager. They should.
Oh, they totally are. Because that's aside from Stanton, who's also getting his share. That's the identity change is the manager.
I don't blame him. Again, Boone's ass last night. Jimmy, just play that long Boone cut. We don't have to play the whole thing, but you know, he's asked about the disaster.
How disheartening is it to start off this series this way?
Oh.
He said, I now can't unhear it. He sounds like Hermie the Elf from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh.
No. I don't want to be a broadcaster. I want to be a manager.
Oh.
It's pea soup.
Oh.
Should play a little bit of the answer just to be fair to him. What came after the moon?
Oh, yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, that's no fun getting beat up like that.
Okay, that's enough. If I'm a Yankee fan, I hear that, I'm like, oh, man, we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Put this on. You're on.
On what?
Just TV-12-ing. Just TV-12-ing right now. Pliability is ability. That's Mr. Miyagi right there.
If you're watching the simulcast, you saw the video that went along with that sound. That is, in another venue, Murray, what I think we would call a POV?
Yes, that is a POV video. Yep,
that
you are correct.
That is a POV video.
Took me a sec there.
Generally has another context.
Right. Yeah, that one could have lived on the other venue, but keep going.
So that is a POV video, a point of view video of Julian Edelman. Jimmy, you have to run it again. On his back, getting massaged by Alex Guerrero.
Correct.
Okay, so again, he's on the massage table. He's looking down, pointing the camera down, and Alex Guerrero is working on his leg.
Put this on. You're on.
On what?
Just TV-12-ing. Just TV-12-ing right now. Pliability is ability. That's Mr. Miyagi right there.
Okay. I know these guys post all sorts of stuff. Why is he posting this? Because this is a nothing video. This is not a cute picture of him and his girlfriend. This is not a brand of shoes that he's selling. This is just not even him. It's his hairy leg getting worked on by Alex Guerrero and Julian Edelman saying we're TB12ing right now.
TB12ing.
And that
TB12ing right now.
They're TB12ing. And pliability is reliability or whatever he says there. And that's Mr. Miyagi. That's what they call Alex Guerrero. He's like the, you know, like for the Karate
guru.
Kid. Yes, the guru.
That's Mr. Miyagi right there.
What's the point?
Well, on the one hand, you could look at it and say, hey, this is a message to all the concerned Patriots fans out there. I'm coming back from my knee injury. See, I'm getting worked on. I'm rehabbing. I'm on my way. That's one way of looking at it.
That's not my way of looking at it, Murray.
What way would you look at it, Maz?
Okay, here's what I would tell you. What did we find out last week, or I guess it was actually earlier this week, from Karen Garigian of the Herald?
That, in a team meeting early last year, Bill Belichick upbraided Rob Gronkowski, criticized him for his play, and blamed in part his training methods with Alex Guerrero for his poor play.
Okay, so that came out on Sunday, which means that we first talked about it on Monday, and now here we are on Wednesday, and Edelman decides to release a video that Alex Guerrero's massaging his leg to. F you, Bill, I'm using him too. I mean, what else could you take from that?
Well, yeah, that's the way to look at it, Maz, and that's what I think too, because it's not, hey, Patriots fans, here I am rehabbing. No, I'm TB12ing. I'm TB12ing. He says it twice. For a reason. I mean, come on.
Well, the other thing is, like, when you look at it, and Guerrero's on the side of the screen there, half of him is cut off, more than half. You get this little cat that ate the canary kind of look on his face. Like, to me, the whole thing was staged, totally. And so I think that this is a shot at Bill. Oh, yeah, Bill, by the way, I'm using this guy, too.
Total. I mean, I think it's a complete, if not shot, then at least statement on, you know, yeah, I'm with Brady and Gronkowski. This is the guy. And Jim Louth pointed this out in the midday, Belichick has said in the past, he has one of his little mottos, is something like, dependability is better than ability. You know, and he said it. They even pulled a press conference clip where he said it, quote unquote, in a press conference. Dependability is sometimes better than ability.
Or the best ability is dependability.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, right. So there's something along those lines of you can be the greatest ever, but if I can't depend on you, what's the point? Dependability is better than ability. And it's a Belichick motto. What does Edelman say in that video?
The best ability is pliability.
Which is the big Brady Guerrero thing. So, not only is Edelman taking this time to say, I'm using him too, we're TB12ing, there's Mr. Miyagi. He actually co-ops one of Bill's phrases and puts a Brady spin on top of it.
The only thing missing is him saying to Alex, saying, oh, there's Alex doing his job.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, that's exactly the tone. That's exactly what he's doing there.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like the legions of people that are taking shots at the coach, the number's growing. First it's Brady, then it's Gronk, now it's Edelman. I'm totally starting to buy into Matt and framing him on this one.
A mutiny, a Q, it's a Patriot.
It's a palace Q. Let me hear the pliability line again, Jimmy Stewart.
Put this on. You're on.
I'm what?
Just TB12ing. Just TB12ing right now. Pliability is ability.
I mean, that's Bill's line. Except he put
reliability as important as potential. This is see a play in reliability.
Yeah, we like to say dependability is more important than ability. So put it that way. Maybe I use your phrase, but that's the one we use. But that's they were saying.
So there it is. We like to say dependability is better than ability. That's what
we say. Dependability is more important than ability.
That's what we say around here. So it's a motto that is used inside.
It rings out in those hallways and those meetings. Those guys hear that incessantly.
And now Edelman, the very week it comes out that Belichick ripped into Gronkowski for using TB12 and upbraided him in front of the team for that, posts a video of him being worked on by Guerrero, which he calls him Mr. Miyagi, says we're TB12ing, and you know,
pliability is ability.
I didn't pick up on that.
I like to say dependability is more important than ability.
No, no, it's pliability, Bill. Don't you know TB12 runs your team?
Oh, that's a total. It's a total shot.
It's a palace cue.
It is.
I told you.
It's a cue.
It's a full on palace cue.
A mutiny. A cue.
Telling you, every day there's something else. Every day there's another little something there to pick at, and I think that's pick-worthy, that little video right there.
Oh, and you know what? Again, it's not going to change. That's the thing, because these guys are hooked. They're in. They're in on Guerrero. They're not changing. Brady's certainly not changing. He's got too much invested in the thing. But the other guys aren't changing either. They're all in. They're all in on Guerrero. So what's Bill going to do? Like, they're going to go to him either way. Like, that one's not going away.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.